Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for Friday, August 3rd, 2012. Hope you had a great week and are looking forward to a very good weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show right now at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and we post the program every day to three different websites. My website, buckmastershow.com. TucsonCitizen.com has our show prominently displayed on their homepage, and TucsonSentinel.com also carrying the program. Friday Focus interview today is with Ward 6 Tucson City Council member, Republican Steve Kasachek. Joining me to question the councilman, Mark Evans, is with me. He is the administrator of TucsonCitizen.com. Also with me in studio, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Mr. Kasachek is on the Buckmaster Show live line. You are, our listeners, always welcome to join in, 790-2040. Councilman, how are you today?
I'm good, but administrator? I thought he was the president and CEO of that thing.
Yeah, that is his official title. He is the administrator, and he does a little of everything, as you know, over there, including he cleans up after everybody and sweeps the floors.
Yes, he should.
Mayor Rothschild was on the Buckmaster Show Wednesday saying progress is being made in becoming Tucson, becoming a business-friendly city. Are we shedding that anti-business image?
Well, we have to. I mean, you know, when you're in this condition that we are in from a budgetary standpoint, there's no way to go but up. I mean, we can't keep making cuts to our general fund and the services that we provide to this community. It's time to start growing the pie. It's long past time to start growing the pie. We have things like the infrastructure, the roads that everybody just cringes at when they get in their cars. We have been cutting services like swimming pools for the public during the summer. Had to turn to the private sector for help with that. So, yeah, we've got to start growing the pie. And quite frankly, I'm confident that we are doing that. We have put in place a package of incentives that private sector developers can bring to the table now. Both the city manager and the mayor have a business advocate in their office. And so if you have a particular project that you want to present that's going to involve tax incentives, waivers, site-specific tax rebates, those kinds of things, you bring your proposal into the manager's office, talk with his development person. If it passes that first step, it'll come to us, the mayor and council. We'll look at it and decide whether or not we want to send it out for an independent third-party review to make sure that it passes all the state gift clause tests. If it does, then we're good to go. Now, the one operative part of what I just said, though, is that review has to be independent. A couple of years ago, when we were looking at the Garfield Traub Hotel, all the financial reviews that we got were from, quite frankly, they were commissioned salesmen who had a vested interest in seeing the bonds be sold. Those weren't independent. So this has to pass the smell test, because the people's taxes that we're investing in these projects are the people who are sitting at home listening right now, who are working day to day. And so we have an obligation ethically, and we have an obligation under the state constitutional gift clause to make sure that the return on investment exceeds what we're investing in the projects.
Up next, Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Sarah.
I wanted to ask about the Star had a story on Sunday about some problems that I guess have been longstanding in collecting some of the tax revenue that's supposed to come back to the Rio Nuevo district, that the businesses within the district haven't been coding their returns right, and they're saying no one ever told us we're supposed to do this. So where does that stand, and how could something like this go on for so long without someone noticing, I think we're not getting all the money that we should be getting?
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad that came up, because for 12 years we've been, for the first 10 years, the city just grossly mismanaged. The Auditor General confirmed that, the finances of the Rio Nuevo district. For the last 2.5 years, the state-appointed Rio Nuevo Board has continued in that same vein, just paying attorneys and with no progress going forward. And that whole time, we've seen the TIF money go, the tax increment finance money go down. Those are the dollars you're talking about. Everybody has kind of looked at it and said, well, you know, the economy is going down, and so we kind of get that. But nobody really drilled down into What are the mechanics of how that TIF money winds up coming from a business to the Department of Revenue and back into the district? So what I'm concerned about now is that for all the bluster that we've heard from the state legislature for the last 12 years, and certainly for the last two, that the city has been screwing this thing up, now we find out that the Department of Revenue could very easily have pre-coded these tax forms so that when they wind up in a small business person's tax files, they don't have to try and figure out whether or not they code it for Rio Nuevo or they're in the district or out of the district. Just make it idiot-proof, and so that when they file their taxes, it goes back to the state, and the state automatically chips that money off the top, and it goes into the Rio Nuevo coffers. So now we find out that, yes, the city messed things up for a while. Yes, the Rio Nuevo board appointed by the state messed things up for a while. And, oh, by the way, the State Department of Revenue has some feet of clay in this thing, too. So a pox on all of our houses. Let's start pre-coding those tax forms so that the district is getting all the money that's due to them. This is not the fault of the small business owners who are filing their taxes. Nobody should be expected to try and figure out the IRS system, especially when it's something as complex as, are you in or out of a district? What do I have to code or not code? This is something the Department of Revenue should have been doing from day one.
Well, you just sort of answered my next question, was, is this something that the State Department of Revenue should have been letting people know, hey, you're in this district, this is what you should do, or is this a city responsibility?
No, I don't even think it should have gotten to the point of letting somebody know that they're in or out of the district. Just pre-code the form. And then it's a moot point. The form comes back with the all the business owner should have to do is file their financials. Let the Department of Revenue. I mean, they know what size of garbage can you have outside your house. I mean, so you know, really, the state knows this stuff. And so, pre-code the form. Don't put the burden on the small business owners. Just let them file their taxes and let the Department of Revenue put the money where it belongs.
Steve Kosacek is with us, Tucson City Councilman from Ward 6. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Here now, Mark Evans.
I believe the proper way to refer to me is the administrator.
Oh, the administrator, not just an administrator.
Right.
Oh, yes, because you'd be one of many at the shop. No, you are
the only
administrator.
I require my staff of one to call me the administrator.
When you're speaking to a journalist, definite articles matter.
Yeah, and is that staff the guy in the mirror that you see?
Pretty much, yeah. So, hey, Councilman, thanks for being here today. In the past month or so, the city has found $1 million in community development block grant funds to fix the Mariscal College, and another $1 million in CDBG funds for the Steinfeld's warehouse. So it seems like it's kind of raining CDBG funds down there at the city. Are you concerned about how the CDBG program is being managed?
Absolutely. And as recently as this week, I've met with the people who administer that program and let them know that when we have a waiting list for our neighborhood preservation needs, blight remediation, low to moderate income housing assistance, and all of these things that those community development block grant funds could go to, and we're seeming to find a way to move them from one pot to another in funding the rehabilitation of the Marist College. And the deal with the Steinfelds was even more intriguing, because a couple of years ago, that building with a couple of others in the warehouse district went out for a request for proposal. The RFP went out, the replies came back, and Warehouse Arts Management Organization, WAMO, came back and they said, we'll pay you $1 for the building. We'll give you $250,000 more within 36 months. We will stabilize the building, and within 48 months we'll have an anchor tenant in, and we'll do the tenant improvements. Nowhere in that RFP was it contemplated that public money would go to the stabilization. So in the front door, they have the conversation that I just described, walk around to the back door, and find out that the city's got $1 million to kickstart that stabilization. And so what I said to the people downtown was, do you think that it would have changed the nature of the bids or the responses on their RFP if people had known that the city was going to front $1 million towards stabilization? The answer was just an astounding, well, we can't be sure, but perhaps. Well, anybody who's breathing knows that if you're going to front $1 million, it's going to change the nature of the reply, because it's going to make it more, your bid is going to be more aggressive. It'll favor the taxpayers more at the end of the day. As far as the Marist is concerned, the Catholic Diocese has said that we have other priorities, that we can't justify putting any more money into this building. About a year ago, they were ready to give it to a private sector guy to do his own stabilization, and all of a sudden, as you just described, the city comes up with $1.1 million to do the stabilization. I voted against that, and the reason I did was, well, two reasons. Number one, all the with the waiting list that we have for the low moderate income people, those are the these are the dollars that should be going to those kinds of folks. The second reason is that unless they can put a recapture clause in the deal, which means that once they find a tenant and they start doing the tenant improvements, we get that money back so we can put it where it needs to be. I'm not going to support that. You know, we're not talking about a destitute little 501c. We're talking about the Catholic Church. And I don't want to be banging on the Catholic Church at all. This isn't that kind of a conversation. But what it is saying that if the Catholic Church writ large, not just this diocese, wanted to invest funds to stabilize that building, they could do it. So we're using taxpayer dollars to do it, and I just think it's wrong.
Steve Kasacek is with us. It's Friday Focus interview time on the Buckmaster Show. We'll continue after we hear from the great lineup of people who support this program. Please support them.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Back to the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. Steve Kasachek, Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman, Republican, is with us. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here in studio from the Arizona Daily Star. And Mark B. Evans,
the administrator.
The administrator from TucsonCitizen.com. Councilman, we started the conversation talking about Tucson trying to shed its anti-business image. What about this with the F-35? Phoenix seemed to have spoken with one voice in full support of Luke and its future missions of the F-35. Tucson really never got on board on this. Would you say that's a safe assessment?
Well, yeah. Luke has some advantages that were outlined in the environmental impact assessment. I went through that. It had a series of metrics that there were four sites being considered. Luke, TIA, one in New Mexico, and Idaho. And the metrics that were being compared were things like the impact on minorities, the impact on low-income homeowners, the impact on job creation, new job creation. And so there were four or five of them. And I looked through the data that the Air Force itself put out in its EA, and frankly, the city of Tucson, just based on the metrics by which all four of the sites were being judged, came in either third or fourth. And that was just objective data. So, that's one of the stronger considerations that the Air Force was going to be looking at. Are we going to be impacting disproportionately low-income people and minorities? And in fact, in Tucson, the answer to that was yes, to a greater degree than any of the other three sites. Tucson was going to create the third out of fourth fewest jobs of any of those created, any of the other three sites being considered. So, it is by the Air Force's own assessment. I'm not so sure that if the city of Tucson, rallied around and said, forget all those other metrics, we deserve it here, it would have swayed anything. But quite frankly, Ward 6 is also disproportionately impacted by the flyovers, and so I was quite forthright about my saying that let's look at the impact on the flyovers. It goes right over a lot of residential areas. It goes over the University of Arizona. It goes over Reed Park Zoo. It goes over some well-established neighborhoods. And maybe until we talk, you have a chance to talk to the Air Force about changing flight patterns. Whole decision about where they go ought to be put. Let's talk about Luke. Let's talk about the rest. Circle back to Tucson for some Operation Snowbird, possibly flights. But as long as we work out the flight pattern impact, I mean, we've all lived in this community long enough to know that we've had it was an F-16 crashed in what is now the Student Rec Center not too long ago, well, several years ago, but still. We're flying planes over the university, some of it carrying ordnance, and that needs to be worked out before we start buying into the mission.
Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
I wanted to ask kind of a general question as we head into the stretch of the election season. Talking to candidates on the state and local level, people and just, voters, people seem to get confused or really not maybe pay attention to who does what and who's supposed to be doing what in terms of the different layers of government that we have in the Tucson region and Pima County and then the state legislature. Do you find that when you interact with voters and with just general people in the Tucson area?
Yeah, I do, and it's a good point. I mean, I have people calling me making suggestions about taxes that we should lower or raise or add when they're under the state purview. I have people calling, talking to me about things that really belong out in the unincorporated county area. We're doing annexations right now, and I can give you a perfect example of where the city and the county have absolutely failed to work well together, and the people who are suffering are the people who both live inside and outside the county, right at the demarcation line of River Road and Craycroft. And so there is a lot of confusion in that. And so right now we have Board of Supervisors elections coming up, and several of the seats are being contested. And it is incumbent, and that those are elections that city residents are voting on too, as well as unincorporated. So yeah, there is that confusion. It's one of the reasons people really need to do their homework. Because you know, I think there's nothing. Well, that's going to be an overstatement. That it is important that people do their homework, because if you're not an informed voter, then you might be making a huge mistake at the poll.
All right, here is the administrator of the TucsonCitizen.com.
The city's just embarked on 8 years of construction on Grant Road, parts of which has important retail and neighborhood shopping districts in it. In light of the problems that some of the businesses have been having weathering the streetcar construction, does the city have a plan to ameliorate the disruption business along Grant, or is the eight-year time frame the amelioration?
Now, in fact, and that's a great question, because in fact, I have joined with Karen Ulick, and we have convened the design team along with residents, with neighborhoods along the way, and with the business owners along the way, to ask the question. Now we have an alignment. What is the overlay going to look like? What are the design components going to look like? To answer the questions that you're talking about right now, what about the funding issues? That is one of the most underfunded of all the RTA projects out of the whole 35 roadway projects that were contained in that package. I'm having the same conversation with respect to the Broadway corridor. We'll be talking about the Cole RTA project tonight, actually, out at the Ward 2 office. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a business owner and you're looking at possible construction coming in 5 years or 6 years or 10 years, what incentive do you have to put any money into your business? Are you just going to let it decay by neglect, and then you have this whole empty tooth syndrome up and down Grant Road for the next 15 or 20 years when we don't even have the funding lined up for that project yet? The same thing exists on the Broadway corridor. 115 to 120 businesses along the north side of that corridor between Euclid and Country Club stand to be demolished, and so we have formed a citizens task force. We're meeting with TDOT and with RTA, and we've had two meetings so far. And what we're talking about is, does that cross with really make sense? The same conversation needs to go forward with respect to Grant, so that they need to define the cross with and alignment as quickly as possible, so that if you're a business owner, you know whether or not it's worthwhile to invest in your own business. And what we don't want to see is nothing happening in either of those major corridors for the next 10 or 15 years, and businesses just going belly up.
Quick update, Steve Kasachek, on downtown and the modern streetcar.
Well, this is, you know, we're into construction, and Mark just talked about the impact on businesses, and it is significant. The work is moving forward on 4th Avenue. It's into the downtown area. We have pulled back some of the fence lines along the corridor so that it is a more inviting area in terms of pedestrian traffic. I was downtown earlier this week, don't remember what night it was, at the Hub, and it was busy, it was bustling, and so the small businesses that are established down there are working. They're working hard to make sure people know that they're up and running and open and need the help, because it's going to be tough on them. Mark correctly points out that this is going to be an impact, because to the extent that it's inconvenient to get there, people have options. And so I would encourage everybody, if you've gone to the 4th Avenue merchants and supported them in the past, if you've gone to the Congress merchants and done the same, keep doing it, because right now is when they need your help.
Do you want to put a quick plug in for, you said Ward 6, your ward? Are you having a meeting tonight?
The meeting is to talk about the Kolb Road extensions, the RTA project, and I kind of catalyzed the kickstart of the meeting because I was getting some calls from people who saw what I was doing on Broadway, talking about that alignment and the underfunding there. And so I'm working together with Councilmember Cunningham, and we're bringing together the RTA, TDOT, and several of the Citizens Task Force and several of the impacted residents out there by Udall Park. And we're going to talk about the thing started at $9 million. It's up to $21 million now. It's pulling in federal funds. And I don't care if it's federal money, state money, local money. It's all taxpayer money. And there's nothing like, no money's for free. It began on someone's kitchen table. Okay. So we want to look at the alignment. We want to look at whether or not it makes sense to do what we're about to do.
Steve Kosacek, thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on the Reporters Roundtable at 30 minutes past the hour, we will be back. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Michael Phelps has won an Olympic record 17th gold medal in the 100-meter butterfly. It's the swimmer's final race. And American teen Missy Franklin has set a world record in the 200-meter backstroke for her third gold and fourth medal overall at the London Games. It was the seventh world record of the Games. Both presidential candidates looking to score political points from today's Labor Department jobs report. It shows the jobless rate increased to 8.3%, but the economy added 163,000 jobs last month. Mitt Romney is urging Congress and the president to delay looming cuts in military and domestic spending for at least 1 year. On Wall Street, the Dow up 208 points. More details at srnnews.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including five major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTrans, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Thank you. 12:34 now on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. And we invite local journalists to talk about the week's top stories, and there's never a shortage of the week's top stories. Joining me today, Mark Evans, the administrator for the TucsonCitizen.com, and Sarah Garrett Gasson is editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment, would like to join in, 790-2040, and the Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. The Buckmaster Show appreciates their support. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Just a follow-up, Mark Evans, to what Councilman Kasacek was talking about with the plans for Grant Road.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be one of the biggest road projects in the history of the city. I mean, they're going to redo Grant Road from Oracle Road all the way to Swan, which includes probably one of the busiest intersections in the city and most congested is Grant and Campbell. And we've talked about this forever in the city. They were going to do – at one point there was going to be grade separation. There was going to be an overpass, and nobody liked that idea. And so now it's going to be one of the last intersections done. They're doing this reconstruction over several years, intersection by intersection. They just started on Oracle Road. But one of the interesting things about it is I just met with someone yesterday who was involved with, I think, the Citizens Advisory Committee, who was – telling me about some of the plans for the road that I didn't even realize because I was just focused on the disruption of traffic and the like. But they're also looking at overlay districts for rezoning along that corridor.
Does that mean high-rise development?
They're talking about as much as 8-story buildings along that road, which it could really change the nature of what we think of as downtown and mm-hmm. then, you know, the Williams Center, and then you've got, you know, flat in between. But now you've got these high-rises going in at the West University area, and if you have – you know, some pretty tall buildings along on Grant Road, it could change the nature of the way the city looks. So I see some very long council meetings in our future about this as it progresses. But it's going to be quite a disruption. It's 8 years of road construction.
Sarah, even though most people thought Luke Air Force Base, that it was a done deal, Phoenix was going to get the F-35, I still think it's a big deal because of the long-term impact. Luke really assuring itself as kind of having a place in the 21st century for military.
It does, and I think you're right in terms of the longevity of Luke Air Force Base. The difference that Davis-Monthan faces compared to some other Air Force bases around the country is that it used to be out in the middle of nowhere, but now Tucson has grown around it. So there are schools nearby. There was one that had to shut several years ago, Keene, I think, because of the flight path. There's all sorts of problems that come into play when you're flying over people's houses and there's the potential for something to go horribly wrong. The difference that with DM is with the A-10s are quite old.
Aging.
Yes, elderly. I don't know if that's
how you... The aging A-10 fleet.
Right. And so DM is going to have to find a different mission, I think. You know, coming. I'm not the only one who thinks that. It's just the way it is. And if we don't find something, if DM doesn't come up with another mission or the Air Force doesn't grant it another mission, then I think the future of DM could be in somewhat of a question. The other thing I think is with the F-35s, there wasn't really a concerted effort that was – there were concerted efforts, but it wasn't like a public all together push.
No, there was not, as the mayor of Phoenix was saying, how Phoenix came together with one voice.
Right. And
one
of –
we didn't have one voice for here.
One of the good things I think about Tucson is that we don't always agree. But but there were a lot of people who were very much against the F-35s coming to TIA. So the difference between the – how the communities operated, I think, played into it. But I think also that Steve Kasacek on the Tucson City Council was correct that there were just factors in Tucson Internet TIA and the DM area, and I'm using those sort of interchangeably, even though they're obviously separate, that Phoenix and Luke didn't have to contend with.
Right, and you know those F-35s are loud. I mean, they're something like I'm going to screw up the percentage, and someone's going to call me on it. Something like 50% louder than the F-16s. They're quite loud, and
maybe not that much.
So there is the environmental assessment that the Councilman Kozacik referred to, and is we just talked to him a little while ago. Is the point is well taken, but in terms of the economic vitality of Tucson, DM is extremely important. So if we're not going to be the F-35 base, we need to be a base of something because they are going to be phasing out. The Air Force has already announced it's phasing out the A-10s.
DM, one of the three pillars of the Tucson economy, DM, U of A, and Raytheon. Dan, a quick comment. Dan is on the Buckmaster Show live line about airplane noise. Go ahead, Dan, real quickly.
Yeah, very quickly, the airplane noise, San Diego Airport, the airplanes fly constantly, taking off and landing right over close to houses, as they do up in John Wayne in Orange County, and those people seem to live with it. Why can't we hear? And let's have some people on your show that are not just a bunch of liberals who have never had a job in their life.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what that's all about never having a job in their life, because I think all three of us seated here have had many jobs in our lives.
And I don't think that I'm that much of a liberal. So.
Yeah.
Moving on, another record, it looks like, with the early ballots. Early voting began, was it Thursday?
I believe it began.
Yeah, early voting is underway. It's just the way of the future, right, the whole early balloting thing.
I think it is. I think people appreciate the ability to sit and consider and make their decision on their own time frame, pop it in the mailbox, drop it off the day of the election, rather than trying to figure out will there be a line at the polls and all that sort of thing. It is, I think, a good thing. I think it changes the nature of campaigns because we're all so used to just sort of a natural flow, the way things have been. For so many years. So I think that is a difference with candidates and just how things are operating, because everything gets pushed back and it seems more frenetic for longer. But I think it's kind of the way we're going to go into the future.
And I'm not really sure that the popularity, the rising popularity of early voting, is being driven necessarily by the voter. It's, I think, partly being driven by the parties, because it provides an enormous amount of important data, because before early voting was big, you had to sit and cross your fingers and hope that the day of the election you got off everybody out, and you'd have, and it didn't rain and you didn't all right. These other things. But now they can go through the rolls, they can get everybody their ballots, they know who's turned them in, they can start harassing those people, like was happening to my wife, who's a Democrat. She was getting multiple phone calls for having not turned in her early ballot for several weeks. Then they know where they can go, who has voted, and then they can focus their campaigns to who hasn't and who didn't get early ballots and try and get the vote out there. So it's been enormously beneficial to the campaigns. And my thinking is that this rise in early balloting is being driven by the parties more than it is by voters clamoring to get their ballots and vote a month before they could otherwise.
And, well, also I think it's changing things in the sense that once you fill out in your early ballot and you mail it off, you know, say a month ahead of time, your vote's done. You can't undo it. So if something changes or comes to light, you've already voted. So
you can't go, excuse me, I changed my mind.
I think I'd like my ballot back. That doesn't work.
Well, I've changed my mind. Speaking of the race between Carmona, Richard Carmona, and Jeff Flake, now neck and neck, according to one poll that was released this week. And I think, Mark Evans, this is starting to show that Flake-Cardin battle is getting kind of nasty, and I think it's helping Carmona.
Well, I think you got two issues going there. You've got Carmona, who's got the world's greatest bio, and that he's a fairly moderate Democrat. Because you're just not going to get a liberal get elected to the Senate in the state of Arizona the way things are right now. And two, every dollar that Will Cardin is spending to hammer Jeff Flake is a dollar for Carmona, a dollar that Carmona doesn't have to spend. So, you know, and if there was just a recent poll that came out, and I think it was an internal poll that showed Flake something like 30 points ahead of Cardin. I don't know whether there was that. Some people have poo-pooed that poll. But if that's anywhere near accurate, it shows that You know, Cardin is spending millions of dollars of his own money for no good result, because it looks like he's still going to lose, and all he's doing is harming his own party's candidate, who will eventually get the nomination.
Coming up on 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show, one of the regular contributors to our Friday roundtable, and we're glad that he is one, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, has just joined us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dan says he's got some breaking news on the proposed Rosemont Mine. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Bill. This came out about 20 minutes ago. The Arizona Department of Environmental Quality has announced that they're going to go ahead and propose that the air quality permit for Rosemont go through, that it's okayed. Now, if you remember last year, Pima County, which had been in charge of this, said no to Rosemont, and they denied the permit. And then a judge said that really the county shouldn't have done that. It was arbitrary and capricious. So a few weeks ago, the state was talking about whether they're going to go ahead and take over that whole process or not. And they announced just a few minutes ago that indeed they are not only going to take that over, but they're going to suggest that Rosemont does get the air quality permit. And this now starts a public comment period that will go through early October.
How big a deal is this for Rosemont?
It's a real big deal. This is what Rosemont wanted. They felt like they were going to get nowhere with the county, and it had been bounced back to Rosemont to, in essence, resubmit their application. And Rosemont was like, yeah, well, we'll do that, but what makes you think we're going to get a different answer? The fact is, the county just doesn't want us. So they started asking the state to jump in, and that's exactly what has happened. And the state not only jumped in, but they are, in essence, pushing the county aside and saying, we think that this permit is okay. After this, then we need to talk about the water permit, and that is in the state's hands also. So today is actually a big day for Rosemont.
Okay, Dan Scheer, thank you very much for joining us. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. So Mark Evans and kind of a Rosemont doing an end around that has paid off, it looks like.
Yeah, the thinking's been long. The rules are so stacked towards the mining interests that it was going to take some sort of egregious behavior on the part of Rosemont, or some kind of crazy plan that would lead to all these regulatory agencies denying them their permit. So I'm not surprised that the state came down with this ruling. I'm just curious as to whether that moves the needle at all in terms of the federal requirements. It's really the hang-up here. The Forest Service Administrator was just in town talking to the Chamber of Commerce and talking about the delays, and that he's saying that these delays aren't unusual, but that he's hoping to get this resolved by December, which he said was still an ambitious timeline. So if this has an effect on those proceedings and can move those on a little farther to an answer, I think it's great.
Sarah, I want to talk quickly about schools. The Ames test came out. Generally speaking, looks like a slight improvement in Ames scores across the state.
Yes, which one would hope would be the case, as we're now used to the whole Ames regime.
And as far as our schools here in Tucson, with this new grading system that Superintendent Hoopenthal has installed with, you know, A through F, I don't think we have any F schools in Tucson. That's something. Yeah, in fact, we don't. No F schools. We had a few Ds.
Some Ds and a lot of – we have more As than last year. But most of the schools still fall into the B and C range. And I think that the letter grades are somewhat controversial because they're so shorthand for so many – complicated things that go into education and a school, and they're based on tests and all these sort of things. But from a pure consumer point of view, you have an idea in your head anyway of what a C's – I mean, it's average. And so I think it's a lot easier to understand.
How about your editorial Kids Count report confirms sadly that they don't count?
Yeah, this is something that has been going on forever. Arizona ranked way at the bottom of yet another metric of how good life is for kids in terms of education.
46th.
poverty, all those sort of things. And it's called Kids Count, and we have never done well in that. And it's just a sad state of affairs that that seems to be okay, because the efforts that are needed to change that aren't being done at the legislative level.
Yeah, the Annie E. Casey Foundation puts out that report, and they've been doing it for almost 20 years, I think. And Arizona has never been out of the 40s. We were, I believe in the article that the Star wrote, that we were 45th in 1999, and now it's 2012, and we're 46th. So, you know, it's a priority, not just of the legislature, but the voters. The voters of the state have to make the kids a priority if they want to move that ranking up and start taking. We got 390,000 something children who live in poverty in this state, and you know, for the most part, we say, "Oh, that's too bad for them."
Sales tax. The language on that initiative is going to have to be rewritten. A victory for the Annie Peterson and her friends.
Yeah, in the court ruled that the legislature's description of the 1 cent, it's basically a continuation of the existing 1 cent sales tax.
Not a new tax. Technically.
There's one that it will be replacing one that already exists, that it was biased and was written to favor voting no on to turning down the sales tax. And the judge said that language can't stand and needs to be redone.
Sarah Garrett-Gasson, thank you very much. Mark Evans, thanks. Our thanks to Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News for that breaking news about Rosemont. Rosemont winning a state air quality permit. We'll be back with Weekend Watch.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
And of course, that music makes it official. It is the weekend here on the Buckmaster Show in Southern Arizona. If you're looking for a cool weekend getaway, consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. A mile-high elevation makes for mild nights. Really, it's wonderful climate over there. So much to do. Explore the famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. No shortage of great places to stay, like the Little Toad Creek Inn and Pinos Altos Cabins. Find out more at Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Time to welcome in the culinary cruiser himself, the host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Master. Doing really well. Boy, that Silver City just sounds so beautiful. I mean, I just every time I hear about them on your show, it just makes me yearn to go to that part of the country. Just gorgeous.
Well, it might be fun sometime for you to actually go over there for a nice weekend and maybe do Weekend Watch from Silver City.
That'd be an honor, indeed.
Yeah. What's going on this weekend? Happy hour?
Absolutely. You know, Bill, we talk a lot about wine tastings on this show, but we surely don't want to overlook the vibrant craft beer community that Tucson is really becoming. And the new kid on the block is the Dragoon Brewing Company over there on Grant Road, just west of I-10. I think this is the perfect kickoff to your weekend by sampling some of the finest suds that I've come across. On my first visit there last week, Bill, I enjoyed the Saison Bleu, a Belgian-style ale brewed with, get this, local agave nectar, and they age it in tequila barrels.
Oh my goodness.
A wide range of beers is available, as is kind of a congregation of food trucks, which routinely sets up outside. Happy hour today at Dragoon.
Well, I know you had so much beer, you were blown up like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Yeah, I mean, leaving the Dragoon Brewing Company, what can I say? I mean, you were staggering down the street. Now, how about a pizza in a one-time funeral parlor that is now a pizza parlor?
Yeah, isn't that fun? Speaking of the new kids on the block, the buzz downtown continues to grow with the opening just this week of Riley Craft Pizza at 101 East Pennington. I understand these guys specialize in pizza that sort of is elevated to upscale levels with some real creative combinations. But as you said, Bill, the thing that most people are talking about is this used to be a funeral home for darn near 80 years downtown. Turning a funeral home into a pizza joint, I think I've heard it all. So many jokes to tell on this in so little time.
Yeah.
Check out Riley's Craft Pizza this weekend downtown.
One of our favorites, Tucson Originals. They do such a great job under the umbrella of all the local restaurant people. What do they have going for the summer special?
Yeah, our pick this week of all the Tucson Originals restaurants that we celebrate on a weekly basis, the one we think is great this week is Chad's Steakhouse and Saloon over on Fort Lowell and Swan. I think it's really the most authentic Old West steakhouse atmosphere that you can find. So saddle up and head over to Chad's for their summer special, which is a New York strip, my personal favorite cut, with a side salad, their famous fresh-baked bread, some ranch beans, and your choice of a glass of wine or a slice of cheesecake, all of that for only $20. Now, are you going to go for the wine, Bill, or are you going to go for the cheesecake after that?
I will go for the cheesecake.
That's my boy. And in pure culinary cruiser fashion, check out TucsonOriginals.com for all of these great $20 summer specials. I think so. These chefs, as I say all the time on your show, really help put Tucson on the culinary map nationwide, and Tucson really is the culinary capital of the Southwest.
Russell Public Communications, now officially closed for the not really, as Matt starts the weekend and goes out and starts his eating. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
Thanks. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oral Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. More at SplendidoTucson.com. Our thanks to Culligan Water for providing the bottled water. I tell you, Culligan, it just simply tastes better. We love Culligan Water, and we serve it to all of our guests on the Buckmaster Show, which is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, our lovely producer, Rosemary Brand, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a great weekend.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.